He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation. And thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, incarnates himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion, and such activities of the Lord are not limited only to human society. He incarnates himself even as a fish, hog, tree, and many other forms. But less intelligent persons who have no knowledge of him deride him, even if he is in human society as a human being. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti mam huda manushim dhanavashritam param bhavam ajan to mamabhuta maheshvaram. Who knows this verse? 1, 2. As you've already discussed in the previous verses, it is concluded that the Lord is never a product of the material creation. His transcendental position is always unchanged. He is the eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and he executes his almighty will by his different energies. As such, he is never the subject of reactions for any of his acts. He is transcendental to all such conceptions of actions and reactions. Even if he is visible in the material world, the exhibition is only of his internal energy, for he is above the good and bad conceptions of this material world. In the material world, the fish or the hog may be considered lower than the man. But when the Lord appears as a fish or a hog, he is neither of them in the material conception. It is by his causeless mercy that he appears in every society or species of life, but he is never to be considered one of them. Conceptions of the material world, such as good and bad, lower and upper, important and insignificant, are estimations of the material energy, and the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all such conceptions. The words param bhavam, or transcendental nature, can never be compared to the material conception. We should not forget that the potencies of the Almighty Lord are always the same and do not decrease because the Lord assumes the form of a lower animal. There is no difference between Lord Sri Ram, Lord Sri Krishna, and his incarnations as a fish and hog. He is all-pervading and simultaneously localized at any and every place. But the foolish person with a poor fund of knowledge, for want of that param bhavam of the Lord, cannot understand how the Supreme Lord can take the form of a man or a fish. One compares everything to one's own standard of knowledge, as the frog in the well considers the sea to be like the well. The frog in the well cannot even think of the sea, and when such a frog is informed of the greatness of the sea, it takes the conception of the sea as being a little greater than the well. As such, one who is foolish about the transcendental science of the Lord will find it difficult to understand how Lord Vishnu can equally manifest himself in every society of living entities. Translation again. He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation, and thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. Om again at Timavandasya, Tasmai Sri Guru. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I wonder how you all feel about the Bhagavatam. Especially if you've read it a few times. As I was reading this verse in purport, I was thinking, now I'm sure you've all heard these points before. They're not novel to you, right? How the Supreme Lord can appear in any society, whether lower animal, human, or whatever. How the Lord is always transcendental in any circumstance. how the Lord, although he appears in a particular species, is never that species. How the Lord remains unchanged and fixed in his position. I was wondering, when I was reading this, sometimes do you react that, oh, okay, I know this already. Yeah, do you react like that? I know this already, and so what? I want new information? Yes? Yes? Hmm? I want to read something I haven't read before that's got some new angles, some new. Huh? Then I was wondering why did Srila Prabhupada say we don't have enough, you know, years in our life in order to fully immerse ourselves in his books? What would you say about that? Why did Srila Prabhupada say that you don't have enough years in your life? You don't have enough time in your life to fully immerse yourself in his books.
Try to understand the full unquote.
Yeah. Yes?
Krishna's a little bit.
So you get the feeling when reading the Bhagavatam, okay, I've read the cantos, now what? You get that feeling?
No, sir. The thoughts come in the morning like that.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Hmm. What Srila Prabhupada is doing is over and over again giving us the themes that we should master and assimilate, not simply theoretically, but by realization. That's why he repeats these themes over and over again in different contexts. So they just work their way deep into your heart. It's one thing to know something on the top of your head. Some belief, some theology that sits on the top of your head. Oh yes, Krishna can appear in any species and still be Krishna. Like somebody reciting some school knowledge, you know. It's another thing to have that knowledge descend into your heart. The descension into your heart of knowledge comes about through service. What I've noticed over the years is that if you just keep focusing on these themes Prabhupada presents and just really try to enter into them with your intelligence, with your heart, gradually this knowledge enters into your heart. And it becomes very powerful. You see, understanding bhakti is not like learning textbook knowledge in school. Okay, yeah, I memorized 1 plus 1 equals 2. Yeah, in 1700 and such and such, Queen Elizabeth was Queen of England. No, it's not like that. It requires the mercy of Guru and Krishna for the knowledge to be realized by you. Prakash and Jaya Mahatma. Also, it's an extraordinary experience for you to realize that you can read apparently the same thing again and again, and each time go deeper and deeper. Once you get that feeling, that realization, then your spiritual life becomes very strong and your ability to help others in Krishna consciousness will be very strong. Once you get over this conception of material newness and material freshness. Some of you have had that experience of just reading the same purport or verses in purport over and over again, and then you start like, wow, when will I ever get to the bottom of this? Have that feeling? So that is what I want you to aim for, because then you'll become strong. Once you start getting that feeling, then you know you're defeating, you're starting to defeat this whole material conception of freshness and sameness. These books are spiritual. What is the Bhagavatam? It's the literary incarnation of Krishna. According to your spiritual advancement, you'll see deeper and deeper into the Bhagavatam. It's not a material textbook. According to your service attitude, your service immersion, you'll see more and more in the Bhagavatam. So I like that everyone here has that opportunity, has that chance. That's necessary if you're actually going to be a brahmachari and go the distance. That's necessary for any devotee, especially for a brahmachari. Because brahmacharis, they just, they don't have any leeway, you know. They're on the straight and narrow path. In the Grihastashram, there's flexibility to grow brand, so to speak. You can kind of, you know, stumble a bit, find your footing, stumble a bit, and find your footing. But if you're going to remain brahmacharis, you have to know how to get spiritual strength and sustenance. Because the attacks of Maya are very strong. You need that feeling. As I was explaining last night, that in my hour of crisis, in the moment of a great entanglement, I can just pick up Bhagavad Gita and my heart will find all the nourishment it needs. You need that experience. Then you become very solid devotees. Then you move out from the ranks of just the religious believers. You can associate with Srila Prabhupada through his books. That's what he wants. He said his books are better than him. If you want to know him, read his books. So I wish that you all would have a desire to know Srila Prabhupada. But in order to do that, you've got to crack this barrier of material sameness. But I already know this point. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, incarnates himself in different societies of living entities to reclaim them from the clutches of illusion. I know that. What else is new? I wonder, how many of you, do you read for new information or do you read for strengthening your heart and your intelligence? If you're just reading for newness of information, then after one or two readings of the Bhagavatam, you know, you've read all the esoteric things, Tim and Gilla fishes that can swallow whales, you know, you've gotten over all that kind of stuff, you know. Then after that, what to do? It's kind of like Krishna consciousness as a whole. What do you do when the novelty wears off and you're simply left with the realization that you have a life ahead of just sense control and engaging in Krishna service? Once the novelty wears off, the buzz, you know. Yeah. So I'm trying to get at is a very important issue. I'm trying to face it straight on. And when you read, are you reading just for new information? Like you read some kind of material book? Or are you reading for association with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna? That is the difference. I myself, how many times have I read these books? I edit most of them. There's no surprises from the material point of view in these books for me. Yet, I'm just amazed, you know, spiritually, how much more you see in these books. I just get the feeling that I'm just standing on the shore of an unlimited ocean. If you think you know everything in these books, or it's all familiar with you, try repeating these things to someone else. Then you find out. Then you find out. Then you start realizing Prabhupada's empowered genius, how he can make purports that have things for neophytes and things for the most advanced devotees, all in the same purport. Just try trying to repeat with, to others. Check your own classes out. I know at first when we started to give classes, because I was working on, I was helping to edit Prabhupada's books. I always had manuscripts of the coming books before everybody else, so I could always give previews in class. Yeah. But then what was I going to do when all the books are out and that advantage disappeared? I couldn't be the one anymore. Yeah. And did you know about what happens in the eighth canto? Oh, we don't know. The eighth canto hasn't been published yet. I'm like, oh, I'd be joking. Yeah. It was back in the mid-70s, you know. I used to sit in my office, BBT office in L.A., you know where the office was. And the Sangha Thunder Boys would come back from the airport and they'd shower and then come to my office before Sundarati. Everyone went to Sundarati then. Sundarati was packed with like, you know, 200 devotees. So, and we'd just sit around reading the advanced manuscripts. Advanced, you know, they hadn't been released yet by the BBT. So, yeah, it was like exciting. You know, you always felt like we're one step ahead of everyone else. We got the nectar that hasn't been released yet. Yeah, so on and on like that. Prabhupada will just keep churning out. The manuscripts will always be one step ahead. But then it came to a stop. Prabhupada's disappearance. So then, what to do? You read the same books over again. Read them over again. Read them over again. Yeah, but I know all this stuff. There's no surprises, no hidden esoteric things. What to do? So every devotee reaches this point. And it's a very basic point in Krishna consciousness that you're going to have to work your way through. When there's no more material freshness. This is what separates, so to speak, the men from the boys. How can you handle the lack of material freshness? Spiritually, there's unlimited room. This book is Krishna. But you have to read in that way. You're reading not for material freshness. When you first started reading these books as a non-devotee or whatever, it was a sense of excitement, right? Wow, you like stumbled onto a whole other universe, right? You got that feeling when you first started reading Prabhupada? I remember it was like that. Wow, is there anything like this anywhere? So it's exciting, right? You got that feeling too? What a relief. I remember here I was going to university that costs now the equivalent of $25,000 a year. And on Friday, I remember, in order to get relief for my mind, I used to just go to a, you know, go to some newsstand magazine shop and just get, you know, some comic books. Really, you know, they have these, especially these ones called Other Worlds. You ever seen those? Yeah. Alien worlds or other worlds, just something out of this world, something different, you know. So here I was, you know, getting a $25,000 a year education at the best university. But when Friday, I remember Friday coming out, I just, oh, this was a relief for my mind. Isn't there something outside of this world? Okay, here's 25 cents, give me an other world. Anything is just different. You know, it's tired of the geocentric conception that Earth is it and that's all. Then I would get on the bus take a 2-hour trip to New York City, go into the village, not the regular Greenwich Village, but it was called the East Village. That's the super hip part of the village, the super alternative part of the village. They had one avant-garde jazz band there, Sun Ra. There's Space Orchestra. And they would, you know, play their instruments, and then they'd have singers singing songs like "Prepare for the Journey to Outer Space." This world is going, going, gone. Yeah, there was a jazz band playing, then this chorus line singing, "If you find Earth boring, it's the same old story. Then join United Spaceways Incorporated." I was just looking for relief. There must be something more than this world. I couldn't stand the geocentric conception that Earth is the center of everything. Everything is Earth, Earth. So, when I stumbled upon Bhagavatam, I was like, wow, amazing. A whole another realm, complete in itself. So then it all clicked. I mean, all the elements of Bhagavatam Gita just were just a comprehensive whole. So, wow. I remember the first time reading Krishna book. I've never seen anything like this. So no one can make this up. Do you have that impression also? It's too much for someone to fabricate. No one could dream this up. No writer could manufacture this. Anyone, you had that impression? Now what to do though when you've read it 30, 40 times? You're going to have to face that issue. There's no more novelty from the material point of view. Then you're going to have to work to acquire the experience that these are spiritual books. And through devotional service, you're going to see newer and newer things in them. So, each devotee will have to fight his way through this. It's once you do, it's a great achievement. It's a great achievement. Once you realize it's a bottomless ocean of nectar. One way to humble yourself is just try repeating all these things to somebody else. You'll see how much you've mastered. And think deeply, how much do you accept the implications of what you're reading? He, the personality of Godhead, as the maintainer of all in the universe, appears in different incarnations after establishing the creation. And thus he reclaims all kinds of conditioned souls amongst the humans, the non-humans, and the demigods. That means this world is never left alone by the Supreme Lord. But do you see the world in that way? Do you see the world as a place where Krishna is actively always engaged in reclaiming the fallen souls? Through his incarnations, through his devotees, do you see the world in that way? Can you see the world like that? When you look outside, when you're walking in the city, do you see it that way? There's the point. So your realization has to go deeper. You've got to try to apply what you read. There comes a point when you can't be lazy anymore about reading Prabhupada's books. You've got to really work on putting the text into your heart. There's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. So you've got to constantly... It's good, okay, put it in your head, yes, but then you've got to push it down into the heart. That takes some effort. Because as soon as you walk out the door, today on Sankirtan, there's the world, separate from Krishna. But actually, you should be seeing a place where the Lord is actively working in so many different ways, in so many different species, to reclaim the conditioned souls. And you're a part of that scheme. I wonder how Prabhupada felt just saying these things again and again. Abhajananti mamudha. But in Vedic culture, repetition is not a fault. First of all, these are Krishna's words. How could you ever get tired of hearing Krishna's words? You can just try it. You can take this verse and just repeat it again and again. Even just the first line to yourself. Abhajananti mamudha. Abhajananti mamudha. Abhajananti mamudha. You won't get tired. Just feel a taste. The nectar start to come in your mouth. You try. You have to experiment in Krishna consciousness. Come alive. These words are Krishna. Just like the Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna's association. When devotees don't understand these things, then they are weak. They remain neophytes. They get caught up in so many things because they don't know how to take shelter of Krishna and treat the holy name and the literary incarnations of the Lord. So this is a very important point for those of you who tend to be serious about Krishna consciousness. You should think about it, this whole concept of material freshness. I need ever fresh new information, like, you know, material entertainment on television. No. These books are giving you spiritual association. And through the spiritual association, you'll see newer and newer lights. That's why it's so good to preach, because you'll be humbled. You think you know it all. Just try to repeat this purport. In my younger days, I would be able to even practically memorize a purport like this and repeat it in a lecture. I can't do that now, because as you get older, your short-term memory decreases, but your ability to master concepts increases. You can't hold on to as many details as you did when you were younger, but you can grasp concepts and import better. You see the broader picture better. So it's good to start out with it in the head, then you have to push it into the heart, realization. You can think when you're going out on Sankirtan today, okay, yeah, this information Prabhupada's put in this purport, I know already. Okay, then try to act on this while you're on Sankirtan. You'll see. And then you get humble. You come crawling back to the Bhagavatam at the end of the day. So these are very important points. You see, Srila Prabhupada, as I told you, he said once, I really wonder how many of my disciples actually accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you actually do that, then what does Krishna say? You're going back to Godhead. So it's a big thing. Janma karma chamate even your way to tell me. So think about this. Any questions?
You said it a couple of times. You mentioned how one time you were at a bus station doing Sankirtan and you saw everyone floating in the three minds of the teacher. And that always stayed with me, and I always was inspired by that to keep doing the service that you can ask. And now later on down the track, we were just talking about it the other day, that the difference between sadhana, kripa siddha and sadhana siddha, whether or not it's the mercy of the guru, or if it's our own endeavor. But it seems, are we dealing with a combination of both that we can understand this knowledge, or reading this knowledge, or trying to apply the knowledge which you're encouraging us to do? That my question is, are we to see it as a combination of both, or just kripa siddha?
Just sadhana siddha is quite alright, because the sadhana is coming to you through the civil succession, so it's actually mercy also. The rules and regulations and instructions of bhakti are the bhakti lata bija, the seed, and you water that seed through hearing and chanting. So there's nothing wrong with just sadhana siddha. One siddha, siddha. So whether you come this way, that way, the other, so it's not, you know. But now we offer all our obeisances to sadhana siddha. It's also true that generally, elements to varying degrees of kripa siddha are mixed in. Yama Brahma said, if you just go out on Sankirtan every day for life, he told one devotee, one day you'll see Krishna on the streets. That was my ambition. I really took that seriously. Just keep going. I knew in 1975 I had no doubts. If I just do this every day, I'll go back to God. Just go out every day. One day you'll see Krishna on the street. But to get to that point, it's going to take some effort, some perseverance, some determination. So yes, you can see the modes of nature acting. And you'll also see Krishna on the street. So think about this point of material freshness. It's an intriguing point. You can deal with this, then you're dealing with the deep issues of Krishna consciousness. So I'm trying to give you all a chance that you have that experience. So here we have our no-frills approach. Just the basics. If you can deal with that, you'll be very strong. Yeah, we can, if you want to just throw in so many decorations and ornamentations, you know, to keep everybody's interest and, you know. Yeah, it takes a lot of work. It can be done, but especially if you're wearing saffron, you should be dealing with the basic issues of how to survive in Krishna consciousness, what are the realities? Rather than just spinning your head with all kinds of, you know, things just to keep you kind of temporarily fascinated. Till you eat your mind with this, till you eat your mind with that. So you don't have to think about the reality that all I have is the holy name, the Shastra, association of devotees, you know. Sure, you've seen devotees whose minds are tiliated, right? They're always on the internet or into this or that, or hear about this, hear about that. They never consolidate. And after a while, they kind of drift off into something. I know it's difficult because there's so many different books out these days. You just wonder what, you know. You have time to read them all, should you read them all, this or that. The only thing I recommend for devotees who have read all the Prabhupada's books sufficiently, you can read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because that's done in a very high quality way. Very high quality. So many of these other translations, because you don't know, you don't understand. You can't just be sure about everything you read, just because someone puts out a book, translation of this and that, doesn't automatically mean it's, you know, it's all there. All the devotees know, because we talk about it. I talk with my devotees I've known since the beginning, or Sanskrit devotees like that. They can just pick up a book and you miss so many things in this first paragraph, you know. But the average devotee just sees these books in bookshops and, oh, nectar. Yeah. And you don't know. Yeah, you see, you know, it's Shastra, so. Yeah, there's always something there, but you just don't know whether it's completely on the level. Yeah. So the only thing I recommend, you know, you can be completely sure. It's first class, is Brihad Bhagavatamrita for those devotees who, you know, have sufficiently mastered Prabhupada's books. It's done on that very excellent level that Prabhupada wanted of translations. Not that any, someone learns Sanskrit on their own, and, yeah, they're going to put out a version of this or that. You know, print up a few hundred copies, you know. Most devotees don't know these things. Sometimes everyone gets fooled, just like the so-called Nityananda Charitamrita. You see that? It's not Vaivrindavan Das Thakur. It's somebody, you know, devotees just got some, you know, garage industry publishing, you know, company, you know, devotees, you know, they can whip together things like that, you know. And they put out this book and put Vrindavan Das Thakur's name on it. Actually, it's not by him. It paraphrases certain things in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but there's also certain things also that are the writer's own conceptions. But the devotees don't know that. Oh, Nityananda Charitamrita, how never. So in terms of translations, I think between Prabhupada's books and I want to supplement Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that will keep you occupied. Any of you have been reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita? That's on the level that Prabhupada wanted. Everything high quality. So if devotees ask me for my instruction, that's what I do. All right.
All right, is it? So you read all the Chaitanya Bhagavat as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
You're asking me personally?
Yeah.
I personally don't.
Right.
Or if I do, it's very casually. Because as of yet, we haven't had a version that's on the level of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I was trained up by Prabhupada, so I'm just very discriminative. I mean, casually, yeah, you know what I mean? You know, you get the general gist of the leelas, you know what I mean? But it's not like I rest completely on it, you know what I mean? The versions out now, they're, you know, yeah. But there's nothing out on Chaitanya Bhagavat on the level of Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Is that something that's going to come out later on, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I sort of don't think so. There's already so many versions out, and mainly it's stories, and devotees are already telling the stories, you know. But something like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's very deep bhakti knowledge that you especially have to be careful. Prabhupada's books are special. They have the full cooperation of the super soul. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're down, your heart is feeling empty, you read Prabhupada's books, you just feel Krishna's right there. It's special. So I'm not going to be fanatical and say I'll never look at anything else. I'm just explaining to you the general situation. You'll become a strong devotee when you get that feeling just by reading Prabhupada's books over and over again that you have Krishna's association, Prabhupada's association. That's what I'd like for you. So I don't say, fanatically, oh, don't ever read it. I don't say that. I just say keep in mind, what's the main meal and what's the side dishes. So, and if indeed you're, wanting to read something else, you don't have that's highly authorized. You don't have that many choices. Turn to Shastra. There's nothing around that matches the level of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in terms of Sanskrit Shastras. All right. Hare Krishna.
Sure. Gaurahari, Gaurahari.